Two Dudes and a Cage.
Two Dudes and a Cage. We are back yet again. UFC 299 predictions and analysis. Man, this card is absolutely fire. UFC 299, UFC 300, 301, all in a row. Three great stacked cards. First, we're going to give you 299. So let's get into it. What's the first fight?
All right. The first fight, we have Joanne Wood and Marnia Moroz. This is on the early prelim. And so this is a great fight. They fought in 2015, where Moroz got a victory via submission. Joanna has still struggled on the ground since that fight, and I think it's going to be an issue for her again, and I think Moroz will get the victory via decision.
Yeah, Joanne Wood, man. 5 KOs, 1 sub, BJJ purple belt. She was 19-2 as a kickboxer. She seems to struggle with her mental game a lot, though, man. Marnia, 1 KO, 6 subs. She's a boxing and kickboxing master. With those credentials, you'd think this would be a stand-up fight, but I think Myra's going to look for the takedown and look to finish Joanne that way. And unfortunately, I think Joanne's going to lose this one. It's just the way it is. Sorry, Joanne. Man, next fight, I got CJ Vergara versus Asu Albamov. Sorry, Asu. CJ, he's got 7 KOs. He's a Muay Thai fighter. Asu's got 3 KOs, 9 subs. Man, this looks to be a good fight on the early prelims. I think Asu, again, you know, with those 9 subs, he might try to look to get this to the ground. I think Asu is the favorite. There's not very much known about him, but I think I'm going with Asu on this one.
You know, I agree with that. Vergara, he's had issues making weight, and I just think Asu is quick. He's well-rounded. He's, you know, Vergara's a better striker, but he has issues with grappling, and Asu likes to grapple. So I'm going Asu with submission. I think he's going to get it done before 15 minutes.
For sure.
All right, the next fight. Get the big boys. We got Rabelis Despain versus Josh Parisen. Rabelis is a Cuban Taekwondo practitioner, and he's actually a good one. He's only had 4 MMA fights. This will be his 5th fight. He's already signed with the UFC. Parisen is a perfect matchup for him. He's a striker, and Parisen just goes out there, he bites his mouthpiece, and he just swings. And I think that's going to be a problem for him. And I have a feeling that it's going to be another short night. But Robles is going to get the victory. And I think he's going to put out Parisian's lights.
Man, yeah. Robles, man, like you said, he was in Olympic Taekwondo. He knocks out guys quick. He was on the Fury FC card that my teammate Darian was on, and Darian was like, man, you should have seen this dude at the weigh-ins in the back. Like, this dude is huge, like crazy. You know, in Fury FC, he didn't really fight the highest level of competition. It looked like he was fighting some dads out there, some older dudes. It didn't really look super fit. I am curious to see how he would do facing higher competition. I like Josh Parisian, 11 KOs, 2 subs, but I don't think Josh Parisian is super high quality UFC quality. The heavyweights, there's very few heavyweights. It's easy to make it into the UFC as a heavyweight, and I think that's why Josh Parisian is there. Unfortunately, I just don't see Josh winning this fight. I am interested, again, to see who Rebellis does against some higher competition, some real MMA fighter competition, but I expect him to get the win on this one. Is it Ian Kutalaba next?
Yeah. No, I have Pereira.
Pereira?
Yeah, Michelle Pereira versus Mikko Oleksijczyk.
Oh, okay. When do you have the Ion Cutelaba fight? I thought that was the first fight of the night.
I have that one at the main event of the early prelims
Okay,
before
cool.
Munoz.
Okay, cool. Oh, looks like I messed up. Yeah, next fight, Michelle Pereira versus what's the other guy? I look like I skipped this one. That's my fault.
Michael Olakuzic.
Michael Olakushkit,
Yep.
yes. Man, ooh, I messed up a little bit, so I apologize. Michael Pereira, he's a flashy fighter. He's well known for putting on exciting fights. I messed up. I didn't get to research this other one, so I'm gonna hand it over to Matt.
Well, we don't normally do the early prelims because a lot of those fights, a lot of up and comers, trying to make a name. This card is just so stacked that we decided to do it. So I have Pereira. I feel like this would be a main card fight on most of the pay-per-views or, fight nights. But I think Pereira, he's got that flashy striking, and I just think he's gonna get it done. He'll be able to manage the wrestling of the Polish Olakuzic. And yeah, Pereira's on a five fight win or a six fight win streak. He's gonna make it seventh on Saturday.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, this next one's a good one. I got Ian Cutelaba versus Philippe Lins. This is a welcome party for Philippe. Ian Cutelaba, he's a monster. He can catch you. He's got 13 of his 17 wins are via KO. I just think he's been on a run going down. And Philippe, they want to build him up. Why not test him with the Hulk? So Philippe is more well-rounded. He's got good power. He has good grappling. He's on a three-fight win streak, and I think he's going to make it four. I think this is going to be a great test for him, and Philippe is going to get it done.
Yeah, I kind of agree with those sentiments. I think this is a good test for Felipe. They want to see where he's at. Ian Cutelaba, he's got 13 KOs, two subs. He is on a year layoff, though. He's a Greco-Roman wrestler. He tried to utilize that to take you down, ground and pound you. He does have a couple subs off of that. Felipe's got nine KOs, four subs. He's a BJJ black belt. He's been out almost a year, too, though. Interesting. MMA math does not add up, so it doesn't really matter. Felipe lost to Tanner Boser, and Ian Cutelaba's last win was to Tanner Boser. That does make things a little bit more interesting, but I'm still picking Felipe to win this one, hands down. I think he gets it done.
I do too.
Yes. All right. We tried to breeze through the early prelims pretty quick just to save time. Now we're going to go to the main prelims. All right. First up, Pedro Munhoz versus Kyler Phillips. Man, I think this should be an exciting, fast-paced fight. Pedro's got five KOs, eight subs. He's a BJJ black belt. He's a judo brown belt. He's got tons of fight of the night performances and performance bonuses. Kyler Phillips, he's got five KOs, two subs. He's a BJJ brown belt. Kyler has beat some people who I thought he was gonna lose to, man. Looking at his schedule, though, I'm just not sure he's going to beat Pedro Munhoz. Pedro, it does seem to be on a little bit of decline, getting towards the end of his career. He is the underdog in this fight, but for some reason, I just feel like Pedro's going to win this one, man.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I know, I know.
Kyler Phillips, he reminds me of Brian Ortega in a sense, where you think he's gonna lose, and then like a switch flips and he gets a victory. He's had a few of those, and I agree with you. Pedro is a tough test. I mean, he's still ranked in the top 15, And I don't know if it was just like scheduling or what, but I feel like Kyler Phillips should have got another person, like, you know, 13, 14, 15. So this is going to be a tough one for him. But I think he's well rounded enough that he, although he won't finish you, he's going to capitalize on the opportunity if he gets it. So I think he's going to outpoint Munoz, and he's going to get a victory that way.
Sweet.
All right, next one. Oh, this is a tough one. We got Matsuz Gamrot versus Rafael Dos Anjos. All right, so RDA, he seems to be on that trajectory of I win one, I lose one. But, you know, he's moved between welterweight and lightweight since he lost the belt. And now he's back down to lightweight. And he's 39 years old. I think he's being used as a gatekeeper for Gamrot. Gamrot's been on a tear. He's in his last 7 fights, he's lost 1 to Benil Dariush, who I was hoping would fight Islam. So there's that. I think Gamrot gets it done, but I don't think he's going to get a finish. I think RDA is just too tough for that, and I think it's going to be a good back-and-forth fight, but Gamrot's going to get the victory.
Nice, nice. Matus, 8 KOs, 5 subs, BJJ black belt. Rafael, 5 KOs, 11 subs. He's a 4th-degree BJJ black belt. Oh, man, it's hard for me to go against Dos Anjos in this one. They're both exciting fighters. Matus is on such a tear right now. It does worry me a little bit. Dos Anjos is the underdog. Probably picking too many underdogs on this card, but I'm going with Dos Anjos on this one.
Ooh.
I can't go against them. I think it will. I think we'll get it done. I think it will go to decision. I think he's still got it, man. Even though his age and where he's at and how long he's been fighting for, his card is almost like the old school versus the new school coming in. There's a lot of those mixed fights on here, and I think this is one of them. But I think Dos Anjos gets it done.
This one's tough because I could see where RDA shines, Gamrot also shines. So
yeah,
it's like if you try to take him down, RDA is like, okay, let's go to the ground. And
right,
if you try to stand, RDA, you know, does he have that speed, that pressure? So it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I can't wait for this card, man. I'm hyped for this card. It's a good one. Ooh. Next up, I'm not sure of the new name pronunciation. Caitlin Thurmanara, formerly Caitlin Chukagan, versus Macy Barber. Caitlin's got 2 KOs, 1 sub. She's a BJJ black belt. She did a seminar at Says MMA, where I train at. Macy Barber, 6 KOs, 2 subs, BJJ purple belt, karate black belt. Macy's kind of a fan favorite. She seems to be a judge favorite too. If it goes to a decision, most likely Macy's gonna get it. I saw some questionable wins under Macy that I thought that she
Are you referencing Miranda Maverick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That fight is a great example. I think Miranda Maverick should have won that fight, but Macy Barber is such a huge fan favorite.
I think the UFC was pushing her too at the moment, getting that promotional push, and so.
Yeah, yeah, and that happens. Unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of Macy just because of how all that stuff works, and it just kind of puts me off on her. But I think Macy's going to get the win in this one.
Me too. Caitlin, she's actually coming off of an 18-month layoff. Obviously, she got married during that time because her last fight, she was Chukagan. This is not an easy fight for her to come back to. Macy has good ground game. She is a point fighter, though, Caitlyn. So, like, 15 out of Caitlyn's wins are via decision. So she could get grapple enough where she could steal a win. However, with, you know, the track record of Macy's decisions, that might not be the best way. I think this is a very safe fight for Macy, who's a young talent. You know, when she first joined, she was like, I'm going to be the youngest champion. That didn't work. She had a couple of hiccups, but she has certainly gotten better in each fight. She's 13-2. 8 of her wins are finish. 6 of those are by knockout. She is very good at wrestling, where she'll take you down and she'll smother you, but still pressure you with ground and pound. And I think that's where a lot of her wins have come from, were ground and pound. But I think this is a great matchup for her to showcase her striking and how much she's grown without having that threat of being knocked out or being submitted. So I got Macy winning.
Nice.
Oof. Next fight, another big boys.
Beast.
The final prelim fight. This is the one that, you know, a lot of people wait to decide to buy the pay-per-view. This is going to do it.
That's funny. It does happen a lot. You're like, okay, I'm buying it.
Yeah. All right, we got Curtis Blaydes, who is one of the best heavyweights, and he only loses to the top strikers. Then we got Helton Almeida, who's not really known as a top striker, but he's just good at wherever it goes. He's built like a Greek statue, and he passes every test that the UFC gives him. But this one is going to be interesting because Curtis, we know, is going to go out and he's going to wrestle. And Almeida's just got amazing jiu-jitsu for heavyweight, kind of like, drawing a blank now, but Frank Mir.
Yeah.
Got the same type of jiu-jitsu style. I think Almeida's going to get it done. And I think Curtis Blaydes is unfortunately going to fall short one more time. And he's just going to end up being that number 5 guy. Fights the guys. Are they ready for the title contention or not? And Helton Almeida is going to be ready for a title contention.
Yeah. Curtis Blaydes was right up there for title contention. And he just couldn't pull it off. Man, he's got 12 knockouts. He's a BJJ blue belt. He was an NCAA wrestler. Man, every time I hear Curtis Blaydes talk, it worries me because he sounds like he's got CTE. He talks so slow and slurred. It kind of scares me. I'm not going to lie. Helton Almeida, 7 KOs, 12 subs, BJJ black belt. Man, he does the same thing every time. He runs across the cage, looks for a takedown, tries to ground and pound you or sub you. And he's relentless with it. I think we can expect to see him run out at the gate and try to go take down Curtis because he doesn't want to get hit by him. We've never really seen, not that I can remember at least, Helton Almeida get rocked. So what's going to happen if Curtis Blaydes does land one or two of those good punches? Can he put him out? Will that even matter? Because is this fight going to be on the ground in the first 30 seconds anyway? Probably. I'm going with Helton Almeida. I think he's definitely on his way towards title contention. Another fight or two, and he'll be in the title fight picture for sure.
It's a great matchup for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I like how they keep giving him bigger and bigger names every time. He definitely deserves it. He puts on amazing performances. It's beautiful. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the main card. We hope you buy it. I know we already did. Can't wait to watch. First up, Peter Yan versus Song Yadong. Peter Yan, 7 KO, 1 sub, BJJ blue belt. He's the former bantamweight champ. Man, he's on a 3-fight losing streak, but he's lost to big names. He's not, it's not like he's just lost to nobodies. If you look at who he lost to, those are some pretty big names. Song Yadong's got 9 KOs, 3 subs. This fight's basically a pick 'em fight. It's tied. The odds makers can't decide who's got the edge here. That means it's gonna be a really close fight. This fight will probably go to a decision if you ask me. I think they're gonna strike it out. And I think Peter's gonna win this fight. Even though he's on
Ooh.
a 3-fight losing streak, I think this is a comeback fight for him and he's gonna get the win.
You know, this would be a good one for him to get because Song Yadong, he still has a lot of growth. He doesn't have a huge backing to him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Petr Yan, great boxer, great forward pressure. Song Yadong's not much of a counter striker. He's also forward pressure, where Petr Yan, with boxing, he can counter strike. So that's a plus for him. Like you said, Petr Yan has lost 3 straight, but they weren't three, you know, nobodies. Like Merab was one of them. O'Malley,
Sean O'Malley, yeah.
ever heard of him?
Right.
One thing that Song Yadong has in his favor is he's got Uriah Faber in his corner, which is probably one of the best lower weight wrestlers with mixing the styles. A godfather, as you must say. So I think that's a good thing for him. But although Petr Yan's from Russia, he's not much a wrestler, even though a lot of people say he's, you know, known for his wrestling, he's not. And I think that's going to give Petr Yan the edge of it's not going to be wrestling, but I'm going the opposite. Song Yadong is going to get a win. I think it's going to be a very close decision. One of those that on Monday morning or even right after the fight, we're going to text each other, I could have seen it go the other way.
Right. It could have went either way.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. For sure.
Next up, this one's interesting. We got Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena. Gilbert Burns is a BJJ expert, and he also has power that he can make any night a short night. Gilbert doesn't really rely on his grappling as much as he used to when he first started, and I think that could be a disservice to him in this fight. Jack Maddalena is a boxer. He's very powerful. He's got, great striking. He's got really good grappling as well. I would say underrated. Jack has a slight reach advantage. I believe it's 2 inches in this one. Let me check. I had it. Loading. Yep, 2 inches reach advantage. And I think that 2-inch reach advantage is going to give him the slight edge in this one. So
Yeah.
I am going Jack Della Maddalena for the victory.
Okay. Man, going against Gilbert Burns? Come on. Man, Gilbert Burns, 6 KOs, 9 subs, third degree BJJ black belt, tons of performance bonuses. Man, he's like you said, he's comfortable anywhere. He really when he first came into the UFC, he was known for his BJJ, but he somehow became a striker and fell in love with striking, which I absolutely agree with. It's going to be a disservice if he sticks with his striking because Jack's got 11 KOs and 2 subs. He's a BJJ brown belt. Jack's got 4 performance bonuses in a row himself. He was the Australian Eternal MMA champ. I think if Gilbert Burns comes in with a smart game plan and just doesn't try to outstrike Jack, if he looks for a takedown, looks for a submission, I think he has a clear advantage in that area of the fight. He just needs to utilize it and he can get the win. So therefore, I'm picking Gilbert, even though he's an underdog. He just has to fight smart and use his good fight IQ and not just try to go out there and bang. Is he gonna do that? I'm not sure. Matt says no.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I would love to see it. Like, have him take Jack down, see if Jack's grappling is to the level where, other people, like, unlike me, actually, do journalism for a living. They see it. So let's see if is his grappling really at the level that it's expected to be?
Oh,
Or
cool.
is he another guy like who we're about to talk to? I am so excited for this fight. We got Kevin Holland versus Michael Venom
Yeah.
Page.
Oof. Oof.
This matchup is made for Kevin Holland. He thrives in these types of matchups where it's not going to go to the ground, which is weird because he is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But he has, his wrestling has improved a little bit. But he has no takedown defense. It's crazy. And it could be because he's the black belt. He's like, why do I need takedown defense when take me to the ground? I'm a black belt. So we don't have to worry about that in this fight because Michael Venom Page is not going to try to take it to the ground. He has zero takedown offense. He's a great striker through and through. Kickboxing, he's done boxing. Didn't do very well. Did BKFC, but you're fighting Michael Perry, you're not gonna win anyways. It's gonna be fireworks from the first bell to the last. I don't think it's gonna go 15 minutes. I really don't. I think the flashy Michael Venom Page is gonna get it done. He's gonna get the win. And I'm curious to see if MVP wins, does it catapult him over everybody to fight Leon Edwards in the O2 Arena, England versus England?
Dang. You think off a one win over Kevin Holland, he'd get a title shot?
That's what I don't know. I mean, he was one of the top draws at Bellator. He's a
Huge draw.
huge name.
Yeah, for sure.
And, it would bring a huge fight to England, because that's where, they're both from London.
Yeah. Oh,
Give
man.
but hashtag give Bilal a chance,
Right. Just not exciting enough, man.
I know, but he deserves it.
He does deserve it. Man, I'm super excited about this fight too, honestly. Kevin Holland's gonna welcome Michael Venom Page to the UFC. Kevin Holland's got 14 KOs, 7 subs, BJJ black belt, Kung Fu black belt. Man, he likes to run his mouth and talk while fighting. He's been doing less of that. Michael Venom Page, 13 KOs. He does have 3 subs. He's a kickboxer. He's a Bellator vet. This is his UFC debut. He does have that flashy show-off style. If you watch the Bellator fight with Michael Venom Page and Logan Storley, you can definitely tell that Page struggles with wrestling and the ground game. Kevin Holland doesn't really like that. He just uses it if he has to. He likes to stand and bang and strike it out. So I think it's a great matchup for him, honestly. I'm having a hard time picking a winner in this one almost. I can see both of them winning. I really can. I think you're right though. I think Michael Venom Page is gonna get the win on this one. I think he probably hits a little bit harder than Kevin Holland, and his flashy tricky style is probably gonna throw Holland off. And I bet we'll see Holland start doing some trash talking because of it in this fight.
It'd be a
Because.
great fight. Steven T Wonderboy Thompson versus Michael Venom Page. Have that one. No matter
I'd like to
what
see that.
happens, MVP versus Wonder Boy, next fight, sign it now.
I'd watch it.
Oh,
yeah.
Fight
for
night,
sure.
too. Let everyone watch it.
Right. Yeah, that would be a great fight. That would be, yeah, so welcome to the UFC, Venom Page. Let's get it done, and let's see you make that run. Man, on to the co-main event. This got fireworks written on all over it, if you ask me. Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint Denis. Dustin's got 14 KOs, 8 subs, BJJ black belt, also has tons of performance bonuses. Benoit, 4 KOs, 9 subs, judo black belt. Man, I think Benoit is the favorite in this fight. That should show you how good he is, really. How much of a tear he's been on. He's been, you know, finishing lots of guys. I really like Dustin's stance on this, where, you know, someone gave him a chance to crack into the top 10. He's just returning the favor. I'm just really having a hard time going against Dustin in this one. I really am. Dustin's boxing is really good. He's a grimy, gritty fighter. I just like his attitude, his personality. I think he's still got it. I think he probably would have never took the fight if he didn't think he could win, especially because it's, you know, like stepping down. So he's looking to prove himself, to show everybody that he's still got it. He belongs where he's at. And I think he gets it done. I really do.
You know, this one was really tough for me to pick. You know, like you said, Dustin Poirier is kind of like returning the favor in a sense to give a guy a crack in the top 10. However, when Dustin cracked in the top 10, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't against the number 3 guy like this is. Dustin has said he is, you know, scared, which a scared Dustin puts him at an edge, which makes him perform even harder than a not so scared Dustin, in a sense. BSD, as I wrote it down, because I was tired of typing Benoit Saint Denis.
Right.
He's a monster, and he is ripped through his competition. Only problem is, he hasn't fought anyone like Dustin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, again, you know, ranked number 12, you're not going to fight the, you know, Chandlers and the Gaethjes. And fighting Poirier is going to give you that chance. But with Poirier being an underdog, we know he's going to go for those legs. You know, Saint Denis has never seen a fighter like Dustin. And Dustin has seen a million Benoits. With that said, I think you know, BSD is a lot of momentum. This is going to be his biggest fight of his career. He's going to be tested, and I think he's going to pass. I think I would say it's an upset, but it's not because he is a minus 170. But I think he's going to win via decision. I don't think he's going to blow through Dustin. And I think this might be another one where it's going to be close and you're going to be like, I could have seen it win either way. So that's what I got.
Nice.
Saint Denis.
Nice.
The hype is real.
It is. It is.
I jump
I can,
on all the
I
trends.
Totally.
You could totally what?
I could totally see why
picked
him.
It was tough. This one was another one. The main event. Marlon Chito Vera versus Sugar Sean O'Malley. I personally could have done without this fight. I think there was better contenders for the title, but I think this is one of those cases where Sean needs this one more than we need this one. The only loss on Sean's, sorry, let me start over. The only loss on Sean's record is against Cheeto. Cheeto threw a calf kick. It seemed to lock up O'Malley's leg. He dropped. Cheeto pounced on him. They stopped it. Come to find out, Cheeto or O'Malley like struck a nerve or something, and he had to take some time off. Their careers went separate, and so I think that's why this fight was scheduled. We know Cheeto is going to go back, and he's going to work those legs. Cheeto is 1-1 in his last two. O'Malley has not lost since Cheeto. That's why it's so weird to me. We know O'Malley's going to look for the counter strike. We know Cheeto's going to press forward, push those legs. O'Malley's going to get the aim for the head, and I think Sugar's going to get the head. I think Sugar's going to get the victory. And no matter who wins, Merab should be the next contender.
Man,
and that's
yeah.
going to be a great fight. But this fight, Cheeto.
Yeah, man. I think you summed that up perfectly. I think that was a great analysis, honestly. I think both game plans are probably going to be carried out in that manner, honestly. Sean O'Malley, 12 KOs, 1 sub, BJJ brown belt. Cheeto Vera, 8 KOs, 10 subs, BJJ black belt. They both really kind of like to counter. The only thing I'd like to add to that is Cheeto kind of spends the first couple of rounds getting his reads, getting the feel. He doesn't put on a lot of pressure. In his last fight, it seemed like he read the whole fight and was just looking to land one counter punch. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't do that again in this fight. Because if he does, we could be in for a really boring main event. Because Sean O'Malley is going to be looking for that counter. Cheeto's going to be looking for that counter. And they're both going to just be kind of standing there doing nothing, waiting for the other one to go. So I kind of hope Cheeto puts on a little pressure and it makes for a more interesting fight. It's kind of hard for me to pick a winner in this fight. A lot of people say Cheeto won by fluke, that Cheeto got lucky, but he executed a good game plan. But what happens if he executes that game plan again? Can he do it again? Can he do the same thing? Sean O'Malley probably be aware. Can he check the kick? If so, is he going to get that counter shot like he did on Aljamain Sterling? It was absolutely beautiful. I don't know, man. I honestly want to pick Cheeto Vera in this fight. I really do. The way he performed, though, what was it, Corey Sanhagen?
He lost that one. Pedro Munoz.
I think the Corey Sanhagen fight, he was just he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yeah, so if he comes out and does that,
yeah,
he's not going to win.
He did the same thing in the Pedro fight, too. Pedro is waiting for Cheeto to go. Cheeto is waiting for Pedro to go. And then Cheeto went just enough that he got the win. The whole like build up to this fight is, if they weren't on the same card in Boston, I don't think this fight would have been made, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's something Sean O'Malley wanted and pushed for. I'm not even sure Cheeto should be fighting for the title. I like Cheeto. He's a fighter's fighter, if you ask me. He's got a great personality. He takes care of his family. He's just a good man all around. Where Sean O'Malley, I just don't like some of his antics, honestly. But the fighter in Sean O'Malley is a great fighter. So you got to give him credit where credit's due. So if you look at Cheeto's track record off of his last couple of fights, is he going to keep performing the way he has performed. If he does, he's not going to win the fight. There's no chance that he'll win, especially against Sean O'Malley.
I think Sean has the. I know, you know, it's not true, but I think if it were to go to decision, I think Sean wins via promotional back.
Automatically,
Yeah.
automatically, guaranteed.
I'm worried that with Pedro Munhoz on this card, and again, and Sean O'Malley, if they both win, is Sean going to call out Pedro because that's another blemish on his record because the no contest, and then Burak gets stuffed again? Or is it going to call out Merab because Merab stole his Michael Jackson jacket?
Yeah, I mean, there is some kind of, there's a little bit of beef there too, you know,
Yeah.
Rob being Aljo's boy and everything. I definitely think Merab deserves the next title shot.
Oh, most definitely.
I don't think Pedro should get a title shot. He is right up there. I think he needs to win a couple more before you can give him a title shot.
I don't think he's gonna win. Tyler Phillips is gonna win via decision. I said it
Yeah.
earlier, and I stick to it.
Kyler Phillips is good, man.
He
He's
is.
good.
He's not ready for a title shot, but he's good.
No. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Pedro's ranked 12, so if they give Pedro the fight, like if, you know, if he won and Sean's like, I want him, and they gave it to him, it's like, why do we have rankings?
Right. That would cause an uproar. I think you need to at least be in the top five to get a title shot. I think anyone in the top five could get a title shot. I think that's just how it should be.
That depends on how dominant the champion is. Because we've seen, you know, like number seven, number eight get a title shot. Because
Yeah, 'cause he cleaned it
Colby
out.
beat one, two, three, and five.
True, 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 true. That makes sense too.
It's crazy how this card is so stacked, but then there's this fight, and it's like, I could go without it.
Right. Yeah, it could have had a better main event.
Great card.
It's just, yeah, amazing card. Amazing card.
I think if they slid this one as like co-main event on UFC 300, it would make 300 that much better, and this fight not as prominent of, you know, why.
Yeah, I like that. I think this could have been more of a co-main event fight. That's perfect for real. Yeah, absolutely.
Hire me as a matchmaker.
Hey, let's go. Hey, the UFC ran a little thing. You missed it. They were looking for a matchmaker. They had a little contest where you like submit the perfect card or
I
something,
didn't win.
and they hired somebody. Oh, did you fill one out?
Yeah, I filled out great fights too. But a lot of them were
See.
injured, and like John Jones, Stipe as the main event. I had Izzy and someone as the co-main. I mean, obviously the perfect card is all title shots. That's not going to happen. And I
I was gonna
didn't
say
do that.
you probably went too hard with
Yeah.
too good of a card. You gotta have like some beginners, some mediums, some highs. You know, you gotta like, you know, you can't just have all bangers on there, all title shots.
That's where I went wrong. I went UFC 400, and they're like, oh, we're not ready for him yet.
Right, it's too soon. Too soon.
Call me later. In 20 years, they'll call me.
Right. Start watching our stuff, UFC. We got
Yeah,
this.
we got you. We won't steer you wrong. And we're not biased because we're not, you know, paid by media conglomerates.
Right.
We can never get our media requirements revoked from the UFC. Got to have them to get them revoked,
Because
you
we
know?
don't, yeah, there you go. Perfect. Cool. Well, hey. That's two dudes in a cage predictions for the most part. We picked the same. There were a few. It's usually because I'm picking the underdogs. That usually doesn't work out in my favor. I hope it does. We hope you watch. What do you got, man?
Let us know. You know, we can't get better without constructive feedback. Don't be a dick, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We would definitely listen to what you have to say. We appreciate you commenting. Man, we're starting to get a lot more subscribers now. 2,500. So we're getting there.
Keep subscribing, keep watching.
We can't wait to see where this goes and how far we can take it. Honestly, we have a blast doing this. We really do.
Like the image behind us, the sky is
We appreciate you checking us out. Two dudes in a cage.